Hi friends, this is Dr. Ralph Wilson with the Jesus Walk Bible Study Series. We're studying the Songs of Ascent, Psalms 120 to 134, and this is number 8, Psalm 127, Resting in God's Provision. Let's pray. Lord, we come to you. Sometimes we find it so hard to trust you. We fidget. We feel like we have to do something. Oh God, teach us to rest in you, I pray, and trust you. In Jesus' name, amen. Psalm 127 is alive with images, house building, town security, anxious toil, and quivers of arrows. It's a psalm about putting your trust in the Lord rather than acting as if it all depends upon you, about the all-important work-rest balance. I'm reading Psalm 127, verses 1 through 5 from the English Standard Version. A Song of Ascents of Solomon. Unless the Lord builds the house, those who build it labor in vain. Unless the Lord watches over the city, the watchman stays awake in vain. It is in vain that you rise up early and go late to rest, eating the bread of anxious toil, for he gives to his beloved sleep. Behold, children are a heritage from the Lord, the fruit of the womb a reward. Like arrows in the hands of a warrior are the children of one's youth. Blessed is the man who fills his quiver with them. He shall not be put to shame when he speaks with his enemies in the gate. Psalm 127 is ascribed to Solomon. Many scholars classify this as a wisdom psalm, similar to other wisdom literature from the Old Testament, such as Proverbs, Job, Song of Songs, Ecclesiastes. Since Solomon collected most of the Proverbs and authored Song of Songs and Ecclesiastes, it's not surprising that this psalm falls into this category. Psalm 127 can be divided into two parts. Verses 1 and 2 talk about diligence in everyday affairs of life, and verses 3 through 5 discuss the blessing of children. As we study the psalm, we begin to discern what ties the two parts together. Verse 1, unless the Lord builds the house, those who build it labor in vain. The first task the psalmist describes is building a house, construction. Back in Bible days, building a house wasn't so technical that only experts could be involved. In a rocky land like Israel, you might send the children out to find appropriately sized rocks or boulders, then haul them to the site. If not, you'd make mud-dried bricks. You'd begin construction by carefully laying the foundations so the house could withstand both earthquakes and the sometimes heavy winter rains. Then you'd meticulously stack boulders on top of the foundation to build the walls up to about 6 feet or so, a bit under 2 meters. You'd need at least one timber for a beam to span the width of the house for the flat roof supported by a post or two. Then you'd cut smaller branches to form joists that would span the walls to the central beam. You'd cover this with brushwood, and then coat the top with mud mixed with straw that was rolled to compact it and avoid too many leaks. Then you might plaster the walls within and without with mud and give them a good coat of whitewash. Doors and windows required greater skill with woodworking. Perhaps you'd get some help from the village carpenter to assist with these openings and closures with a bar on the inside to prevent the door from being forced open at night. All this was hard work. The Hebrew word suggests the drudgery of toil. We work hard to create a home for our families. Now the wisdom. Unless the Lord builds the house, those who build it labor in vain. If we rely on our own efforts and not God's help, it's silly. The Hebrew word denotes emptiness, vanity, anything that is unsubstantial, unreal, worthless, either materially or morally. We might say that building our house without relying on the Lord is a waste of time. And that doesn't just apply to our physical houses. The Hebrew word for house also denotes one's household or family, as we'll see in verses 4 and 5. Moses warns the Israelites about an attitude that takes undue credit for one's success. Deuteronomy 8:17, "Beware lest you say in your heart, 'My power and the might of my hand have gotten me this wealth.' You shall remember the Lord your God, for it is he who gives you power to get wealth." The second common task is providing security for our families. That's why an Israelite would bar the wooden door at night to keep out robbers. Many houses would be built behind city walls, secured at night by heavy gates to provide further safety. Watchmen would be posted on the city walls and perhaps in the streets to watch for attacks or night raids. More on watchmen on day 11, Psalm 130, verse 6. From earliest times, security has been important, but the psalmist warns us in verse 1, "Unless the Lord watches over the city, the watchman stays awake in vain." Even though we are responsible to provide for family and community security, we must put our trust in the Lord, not just in our preparations. The psalmist doesn't tell us not to build houses nor ensure security. We must. But we must not trust in them so that we rely only on ourselves and not on God. Locks and keys, walls and gates, and surveillance video may have their place in your security preparations. Police and fire departments are vital to safe communities, but the best security possible is no substitute for trusting in the Lord. For unless the Lord watches over us, none of our human protection efforts will be enough. Notice that the psalmist doesn't say not to build houses and not to provide security. We must. But we do this in tandem with faith. Taking necessary precautions doesn't show lack of faith. It is part of the outworking of our faith. These two important areas of life, housing and security, represent all the needs of our lives. We aren't adequate to make a life without reliance on Yahweh. Now the psalmist turns to fretful, fear-driven habits of constant work that imagine our livelihood depends only on us. Psalm 127, verse 2. "It is in vain that you rise up early and go late to rest, eating the bread of anxious toil, for he gives to his beloved sleep." I don't know about you, but one of my success mechanisms has always been to work hard, harder than anyone else would be willing to work. It hasn't always been a healthy balance. Yes, having a good work ethic is important, and certainly many of the Bible proverbs applaud hard work. But our psalmist is talking about food brought through hardship and pain. The ESV's anxious toil captures the kind of fearful desperation that sometimes motivates our labors. There is a time to work and a time to sleep, a balance gained from trusting the Lord to meet our needs rather than thinking it all depends on us. The psalmist has been talking about trusting God when building, guarding, and earning a living. Part of building a house involves building a household, a family. The Hebrew word for house is used in both ways. Some couples struggle with having children, fertility problems. Barrenness was a struggle for some families in Bible days. But we may forget that before birth control became widely available, people also worried about having too many children, more than they could feed. Women complained about being mere baby machines. The psalmist reminds us to trust the Lord in this area of our lives too. Verse 3, "Behold, children are a heritage from the Lord, the fruit of the womb, a reward." More children in an already full household can seem overwhelming, so we're told to see children as part of our spiritual heritage, little people whom God gives us. They are also to be thought of as a reward, a valued remuneration from God himself. "But we can barely provide for the children we have," some parents might protest. Kidner says helpfully, It is not untypical of God's gifts that first they are liabilities, or at least responsibilities, before they become obvious assets. The greater their promise, the more likely that these sons will be a handful before they are a quiverful. And so the psalmist reminds us of how valuable children will be to us as they grow and mature. Verses 4 and 5, like arrows in the hands of a warrior are the children of one's youth. Blessed is the man who fills his quiver with them. The psalmist is using military terms here, warrior and arrow. He also hints at the help of your family when it comes to enemies trying to take advantage of you in court proceedings. Verse 5, he shall not be put to shame when he speaks with his enemies in the gate. In an ancient Hebrew city, the gate refers to the whole gate complex built for security and defense, and the open area on either side of it. The gate was the location where the elders gathered to discuss civil matters concerning the city, as well as to decide court cases, both criminal and civil. The open area around the city gate was a place where people congregated and encompassed the marketplace. So when your enemies accuse you at the gate, in front of the city elders who will judge your case, decisions are not governed by law only, but are subject to political and social influences as well. As in Jesus' parable of the widow and the unjust judge, the widow or orphan or foreigner is at a human disadvantage due to lack of social clout. But with a band of grown children at your side, your enemies aren't likely to prevail over you at the gate. As we have seen, this psalm is about learning to trust God and thus rest in Him, rather than working ourselves to death being fearful of people breaking into our houses or having too many children. Jesus talks about this balance of work and trust in the Sermon on the Mount. I'm reading from Matthew chapter 6, verses 25 and then 31 to 33. Do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? Do not be anxious, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the Gentiles seek after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them all. But seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. If we can get the faith part right, then we can live without losing our joy and sleep at night. Perhaps one line encompasses the fruit of the trust that Jesus calls us to. Verse 2, He gives to His beloved sleep. May God help you balance trust with diligence so that you can enjoy the Lord in your life. Let's pray. Lord, as I look back, so much of my activity was self-effort, long on hard work and short on prayer. Help me, help us, achieve the balance of hard work with trust, that we can be co-workers with You. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Our Day 8 meditation based on Psalm 127. Why is work without trust inadequate? Why is trust without work an illusion? How can we achieve the kind of balance that affords us good rest? Why do you think the psalmist stresses that children are both a heritage and a reward? May God bless you as you celebrate.